It's time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hello and welcome to episode 55 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Barnes. Now, about the time that this episode is scheduled to air, I will probably be having a baby, my first baby. And so in honor of that, this particular episode is for all you moms and future moms out there. My co-host that's been with me on the last couple of episodes, Andrea Otley, happens to be a mother of three, and she gives me some great advice on this show about getting back in shape, back in the saddle, and we also talk about how to not lose sight of our own goals as we balance our kids' activities. I know that's a challenge for a lot of families out there. So I hope you enjoy this episode with Andrea, and please be sure to listen to the end of the episode as I have a very, very important announcement to make. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll get right into it.
Most of the listeners of the podcast probably already know that I am expecting a baby very soon. By the time this comes out, I might be in the hospital. The official due date is July 4th, and you know, anytime around then when she decides to come. But I wanted to talk to Andrea today about fitting babies and kids into sort of your lifestyle, especially when it comes to horses, because I know a lot of us struggle with that. And it's not always horses. It's just, you know, whatever we happen to be involved with or the things that are really important to us, and how do we incorporate our kids into, you know, our life before we had kids without giving all that stuff up. So I think since Andrea has three kids, she should be able to help us out with that topic a little bit and give me some pre-motherly advice.
Ooh, fine. I'm going to like this. This is going to be fun.
You know, you think about a lot of different things when you're pregnant with your first child. And, you know, like, what is my life going to be like after I have this baby? And am I still going to be me? And am I still going to do things for myself after I have a baby? And how am I going to incorporate all of that? And I know people do it. So I think it's kind of like a balance that you have to achieve. And some people seem to have a easier time doing that than others.
Sure. Yeah, most definitely. And I think everybody's situations are different. Like with my first son, I was younger, of course. I think I was in my mid-20s. I can't remember exactly the age, but we were very much trying to have a baby. You know, it was very planned. We were trying very hard to have a baby, and it took a few months to get pregnant. And so, you know, it's all this expectation and planning. And so when he was born, we didn't really slow down too much. We just kept right on going. And in that summer after he was born, we just hit the rodeo trail. My husband rides Bronx. And that was actually the year he won the MPRA, the Amateur Association in the Northwest. He won the title for the saddle bronc riding. So we rodeoed hard and just took the little baby with us. He was about 6 months old, and we upgraded the trailer and figured out how to put him, you know, have him sleep. You know, we just tried to keep him on a schedule and stuff, but that's what we did, was just like, baloney. I am not changing. I got really good at riding either during naps or setting up places where he could be in the trailer while I rode so that I could hear him if he woke up, kind of a deal. But then fast forward to like the third, and it's funny because the other two, they were not planned. Like, it wasn't that we didn't want children, but we weren't really like, okay, now's the time for the next baby. It just happened. And so it seems like that was a different set of circumstances too. So I think in hindsight, comparing all three, the best thing is to plan as much as you can, but know that you know, there's always going to be something that comes along that isn't going to go, that's going to put a wrench in your plans.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny when you're pregnant, people love to like give you advice.
That's why I'm like seriously like rubbing my hands together right now going, oh, I can't wait to tell her everything.
It's kind of like, well, you've never had a baby before, so I need to tell you everything about it. But it's always tinged with their own experiences and their own biases, and they don't always necessarily mesh up with what you are going to do or want to do. And so, you know, some people are really a lot like you in that they don't really change much of what they were doing before. They just kind of roll with it and the baby goes and they just figure out a way to make it work. And then there's others who change everything and, you know, don't want to ever take the baby anywhere because it's just a hassle, or, you know, just kind of let the baby control their lives after they're born. And so I feel like there's kind of a real balance you have to find there. And I mean, as soon as I sort of accepted the fact that I was pregnant, I thought a lot about that. You know, my significant other and I started making plans for, you know, after the baby comes, that we were going to make sure that we did regardless, even, you know, with the baby. We're not going to stop doing the things that, you know, we want to do. It'll just be a little different. Mm-hmm. So some people try and talk me out of those things because they think I'm crazy, but you know, I don't want to be the type of person that just gives up everything that's, you know, that I enjoy because things are the circumstances are a little different.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I think, of course, everybody's well-intentioned when they give you their advice.
Oh,
and
yeah, absolutely.
You definitely have to, you know, go, okay, that's what happened with them. Now, what in my heart is going to work for me? And it's probably going to be just a combination of all types of things. And you'll have an idea of what you're going to do and you'll try it a little bit and you'll be like, nope, I got to adjust this or change things here. Or maybe it won't even be what you think you want to do, you won't want to at all. So I think you have to be super flexible, you know?
Right.
And yeah. When I got pregnant with Rebecca, so she'll be 2 in July, on July 14th, actually. So I took that chance, that opportunity, after I found out that I was pregnant with her. I knew leading up to that I had said yes to way too many things in my life. Like I had too much on my plate. Mm-hmm. And it was all things I'd said yes to. I think this is a pretty common thing for like my type of personality, that you always want to help and you know you do a good job. So you say yes to things because it won't get done if you don't, and you feel like responsible or obligated. So you'll say yes to projects or events or just something, things going on in the community that people rely on you to do. And so I had done that and just, I mean, I was maxed out. And so I had, you know, like last time we were talking about reading some of those books that we were reading, and I knew I needed to cut out some stuff, but I was really afraid I would let people down and I would hurt their feelings. But I got some courage and I was like, okay, I'm going to use this pregnancy as a chance to, and it was awesome. It was still hard, but I allowed myself to get rid of almost everything that I didn't want to do that was not serving me. And I just left room for my babies and my horses and of course my family and, you know, and what we have going on the ranch. But it really let me just, I journaled about it a lot too, about what was important to me, what my priorities were, you know, understanding you could only do a few things, you know, really, really well, and you want to be happy doing them. So what is that? And no one can tell you what it is. You know, it has to be definitely a soul searching thing. And it just allowed me to clear off. So, and some of the things were super hard. Like there's a local horse show that's been going on for years and years and years. I mean, like, I don't even know, probably 30, 40 years, maybe longer. And I think we did it 6 or 7 years and totally out of obligation. I didn't want the show to end and it consumed my life for 12 months of the year. Yeah, it was a big event. We had a ton of contestants. It was a really, really awesome show. And I didn't want to do it anymore. And I knew no one would if I didn't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that year, I didn't want to have to be at the event with a 2-month-old baby. I was willing to go rodeo and stuff with my babies, but I did not want to have that going on with that precious time with an infant. And so I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm going to say no to this horse show. And I know people were upset, and I know, and it didn't, it died, that no one stepped up and took it over. But I had to be okay with that. You know, I had to just be like, this is important to me, and this is my life, and this is how I want to make it. So these are the things that have to go. So.
Yeah. And well, on something that stressful, I mean, putting on an event, there's a lot of stress involved with that. So that's not something you really want to be in the middle of when you're giving birth and then, you know, spending time with your newborn. I wouldn't think anyway.
I didn't. And I thought, well, you know, I had a really great team. I thought I can just delegate more and be less involved at the actual days and stuff. But I had wanted to not do it for a long time. So it was really easy for me, you know, to be like, okay, this is it. But I hated the feeling of letting people down and disappointing them and having something end that had been such a legacy in our county for so long, you know, that was hard. It's not easy, but it was the right decision for us. And so that's what I think you really have to do is go, okay, here's all this advice people are giving me, but what is right for me? And you just know if you look at what you really want in your life and just go with the flow, make it happen.
Yeah. And it's too bad that nobody else stepped up to do it, but it's not like you can control that.
No, I couldn't. And you never know. I mean, it can always go again, but it's still the right choice for us. So, yeah.
So how do you sort of, once you have kids and a couple of yours are getting a little bit older and probably a little bit more independent, how do you sort of balance like your goals and your priorities and the things that you personally want to accomplish with their stuff? I mean, because they're getting into activities and competing and doing those things too. And I'm sure in your case, it helps that you're kind of doing the same types of things, but how do you balance that?
Yeah, that is, it's challenging for sure, but it's definitely the same thing is what I was just talking about. You kind of just know, like Ira is 11 and he's been cutting for the last 2 years. I mean, they've always rode. So that was one thing that really helped is ever since they were, man, like Rebecca, she'll sit on horses now. She doesn't have a saddle yet. She'll get one for her birthday. They all get saddles when they're two. So, you know, we start leading them around when they're two. So they always know what it's like to be on a horse. So when I'm riding and the type of riding that I do competitively, I mean, I'll always have like a horse going for a project, whether I'm putting on the barrels or going to show a ranked cow horse event. You know, I kind of block out my evenings or afternoons and just go ride 3-4 head of horses. And so, well, and I can remember like with Ira, we got him one of those, they have these battery powered little cars that they like, I think his was a Jeep or a tractor or something. Mm-hmm. And he would just drive it around the driveway outside the arena when he was like 2 or 3. And we'd do that till the battery ran down. And when the battery ran down, I was like, oh, time to change horses and freaking go grab another battery. And so he would do that. And then he got to where he would just ride with me. And then, of course, when Paxton came along, he could play with Ira. So you're right. They kind of developed this little, you know, they go play and they'd make forts and do different stuff while I was riding. And now that they're getting older to where they want to compete too, we just kind of roll with it and be flexible, because a lot of the events that we go to, like the county fairs and stuff, there's events that we can all do. Mm-hmm. And so we do. And then like the cutting, he goes with his grandparents. So I actually have missed out on seeing him cut. I always ask her if she'll video it so I can watch, but I just can't get there to it. Not because of my own competing, but just, you know, with work and blah, blah, blah. So he, and still again, I just have to let that be okay. And then just really, when we do get to go, it is just so incredible to, I mean, there's just no more, I know what love is because of my children and being able to watch them compete in events. And it's just, you know, like we were talking about before, having them be able to, you know, just go through the ranks of their age until they're old enough to compete and help them out with it. Just what it teaches them as people, you have to have them involved in it. But I'm just not one of those type of people that go overboard. Like, I like the balance. I want to be able to compete. I've definitely had to scale it back. I ride less horses than I did before I got pregnant with the first baby, you know, and then they can't do every single thing that they want to either. So we just work it out based on, you know, just desire and skill level and just where we're all at. I was thinking about it. Like, before Rebecca was born, I bought a Snaffle Bedford prospect at the Snaffle Bedford Charity in Reno. And that was my thing. I was going to show him as a 3-year-old down there in Reno. And yeah, that didn't happen because I got pregnant with her. But it's, at first, you know, it's disappointing and you got to make some changes, you know, like you do, but it was just worth, like, he's 4 now and he's greener than green, but it's okay. I'm going to get him broke. He's a nice horse. It'll be fine. And when I get ready to show at that level, then I'll just get another horse. You know, it's just being okay with what happens and knowing it happens for a reason and always trying to look for the lesson and the positive out of it.
Mm-hmm. Do your kids do anything, like any activities outside of riding, that, you know, like t-ball or anything like that?
Yeah. And that's probably where the biggest balance has had to come in. I mean, we tried a little bit with the sports thing. Like, one last winter, Ira played on just a local basketball team during the winter. You know, we don't ride very much in the winter except for just what we have to do on the ranch. And it was just too hard. And we just got to thinking about it. Unless they show a huge desire in sports, which neither one of them do right now, and Rebecca's too young, but you know, they're just going to do junior rodeo and whatever shows they want to go to. And that's their sport. Like, they just haven't at this point expressed enough interest to want to do any other sports. And we just live so far out that it's not very realistic. So that would be, you know, if we're going to do something, we're going to do it well. And I don't want them to be in 1,000 different things and kind of half-ass it and be so burnt out because they're in too many activities. That's just my point of view and my philosophy. I know lots of people figure out a way to make it work, but that's just not us. We like to just focus on 1, 2, 3 things and call that good.
Yeah. And that's what we always did in my family, my brother and I. And I don't know. I mean, I think in some ways, you know, some kids are just, they like to experiment with different things and kind of see what maybe they want to pursue. But at some point you definitely have to cut it down because you can't do it all and you can't be good at everything either.
Too competitive with what these kids have going on. If and I don't know, I guess that's me. I like to win and I like them to understand what it means to win and what you have to do, you know, what you have to do to win as far as practice and dedication. And yeah, you can't do it all. You just can't.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously you're not going to always win, but that should be the goal. I mean, if you're putting that much time and energy and money and resources into
it. Yeah. Yeah. No, you aren't always. And yeah, no, they are not always at the top, but you're right. I mean, that's your focus. You're like, you want to work on yourself enough to where you're at that level, whatever it is, to be able to win. And it's okay if you don't, for sure. You just know what you got to work on for the next time. But I want them to understand what that means.
Yeah. You know, I've heard some people say that they sort of had to kind of work back up to the level that they were at before they had kids. Like, maybe, you know, having a baby kind of changed them or caused them to lose some of their confidence. So then when they got back, started riding again, they sort of had a little bit of a hole to climb out of. Did you ever experience anything like that?
I'm trying to, I mean, yes and no. I know, just comparing Paxton and Ira to Rebecca, you know, I was really, by the time Rebecca came around, I was already so engrossed in health and fitness and that was my business, that I was able to have a very active, healthy pregnancy, which had me bounce back so fast compared to the other two. And I mean, like night and day, it was amazing. So while I was pregnant with Rebecca, I really focused on still doing my 30-minute workouts that I'm used to doing. So, I mean, of course, I couldn't do it at the intensity that I was before I was pregnant, but I really worked on squats and lunges, anything to make my legs strong and anything to make my core and my back strong. And then I did a lot of upper body too, because they were like, you got to pack that baby, you got to pack that car seat, you better have strong arms, you know? So I really focused, like that was my job. Like, I'm going to have a baby on this day, I'm going to be ready. And so every day, even if I didn't, because I had morning sickness really bad. So sometimes I didn't feel like it, but I always at least got 10 minutes in. And then once I got 10 minutes going, I'm like, okay, this isn't so bad. And then I would go for a lot of walks. And I did eat healthy, but I didn't, I mean, I gave into cravings, because that's insane. Like, no pregnant woman can resist her cravings. Is that right? I mean, you can't.
Yes. Oh my God.
So I didn't worry about that too much. I did make sure I got nutrition in my body. But let me tell you, I was back to some type of working out, very mild, not a very low intensity working out, a week after she was born. And I mean, it wasn't like I made myself, I felt good. And the program that I did allowed me to actually be back on my horse in 4 weeks. And that right there gave me so much confidence. And it wasn't like I was fooling myself, like I was really in all this excruciating pain, but I didn't want anybody to see. I scanned myself. I'm like, I seriously feel good. I can't even believe it. But having said that, I do know, you know, just because I think I took like the last trimester off from riding with her. So there, you know, it was several months before, you know, in between where I hadn't ridden at all. And I made sure I got on my gentle horses and didn't do anything ridiculous and had somebody there with me. I didn't ride by myself and didn't overdo it and worked up that way confidence wise, you know, and just checked myself like, okay, how does this feel? Because there's a lot of things going on with your body that you're like, okay, I need to be some healing here, but that's okay. And just like your balance and, you know, just like having not done it for a while, you just feel a little uneasy. But if you're a person that's really used to riding, it's seriously like riding a bike. You come back fast. As long as you have a healthy pregnancy and you weren't, you know, like bedridden for very long or anything. So that was my experience. And then I'm just trying to think like mentally, it, you know, it's just such a big adjustment being like going from just you, then all of a sudden, then you have this baby and
right.
It's just all tons of emotions, but the biggest thing is you just have to embrace all of it. And it's just such a miracle what's going to happen. It's a miracle that you're carrying around another life, that your body is doing an amazing thing. And she's going to be here and she's going to look up into your face with her face. And I just can't wait. I can't wait for you. It's so awesome. It makes all of it worth it. It just does. I just know what love is because of my babies. I just, ugh, yeah, it's awesome. So awesome.
Good to know. Good to know.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, I kind of feel like we're developing a bit of a relationship since I have this little alien living inside my belly right now.
So let's see, you're like 6 weeks away or a little?
Yeah, a little bit less than that. It'll beginning of next week will be 5. So, about 5 and a half.
She does a lot of rib kicking and you see all the rolls.
Yeah. Well, today it was really funny because I felt like a foot or something and pushing on my belly, and I pushed back with my hand and she pulled away really fast. Like, don't touch me. That just cracked me up. That was the first time I'd gotten a reaction like that from her. So, it's like, oh my goodness, there's a real little baby in there.
I have to ask you, so do people want to, like, even strangers want to just touch your belly? Do you ever have that, like, they want to just touch it?
I haven't had that as much as I kind of thought I might.
Yeah,
it's only really happened once and it wasn't a total stranger.
Uh-huh.
So I know, like, my friends at work want to touch it all the time, but they reframe. So, yeah, that hasn't been really a big problem for me. Was it for you?
Yeah, not too much, except for I just remember one time we were at a rodeo and the stock contractor that my husband is friends with, like, he's a big man, like probably 6'5", like a large manly man, you know, and he just walked up to me and he just put his big old hand on my belly and I was like, whoa. And he was very gentle and nice and kind and it wasn't inappropriate, but he was like, whoa, what are you doing? It just made me laugh. I was like, oh, it's no longer your body. It belongs to other people and yeah. They understand that it's packing a baby and you're just irrelevant to the whole situation.
Yeah. I've heard stories of women who have had just people come up to them in the grocery store that they've never even seen before, but fortunately, that hasn't happened to me. So.
Well, that's good.
Okay, so I have to ask you this because you're definitely going to have to help me after I have this baby to actually get back in shape, since that's kind of what you do. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that you were really active and it was probably a lot easier for you to get back in shape. I have not been quite as active as you were. I do try and walk and stuff, but I haven't worked out I did at the beginning of my pregnancy, but I haven't the last few months. So what would you recommend as far as getting back into a workout routine after the baby comes and just kind of taking your body back? Because I know there's so many changes that happen and it's been sort of run by someone else for a little while. And I know that it takes a long time for things to kind of go back into place and all that. But what do you recommend for sort of helping to just get back into a good place again that you're feeling good about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So that I mean, like my first two, that was before I became a fitness coach, the first two. And I use my morning sickness as a complete excuse to just lay on the couch and do nothing. And it wasn't until after Paxton was born and I was sitting on the couch watching The Biggest Loser. He was an infant. And I'm like, I just became so inspired by those people. That was back when The Biggest Loser was pretty new and Jillian Michaels and Bob Harper were still on there. And I was just so inspired by those people getting themselves back into shape that I'm like, all right, I'm going to start working out. So that's kind of where my whole thing even started, was trying to get back in shape after having a baby. But knowing what I know now, it's definitely going to depend on how your pregnancy goes. So if, you know, it just goes as planned and everything is natural and normal, I'm assuming you're planning on having a natural birth, right? Or do you have C-section or anything scheduled or?
No.
Okay. So as long as it all goes as planned, and then depending on how you guys, you know, kind of ease into those first few weeks, I say don't push it at all, especially where you're not used to like a workout routine. See how it's going to go with naps and, you know, how fussy she is, if she's a good baby or a needy baby, you know, get your routine worked in. And then you definitely make it a priority to start some type of program that you can just follow, you know, like it'll just tell you, and I can help you out with all of this later, but it'll just tell you, you know, you're like, today I do this and it lasts for this long. And then tomorrow, and then it just slowly builds up to where you get your strength back. And you can take a lot of confidence in that type of routine, you know, where someone else designs it for you and all your job is just to fit it in and get it done, but always focusing on the right intensity. So you don't have to just become an Olympic athlete in a week. You know, it's just all about listening to your body and making it feel good. And so what I did, like with Rebecca, was just 10 minutes of like a total body workout that worked everything. And so then I started using muscles that I hadn't used while I was pregnant, which was nice. But I listened to my body, you know, it almost felt good to, there's almost like an energy release that was happening. Like I didn't try to work out so hard that I hated it or that it hurt me, but I used it as a chance to let it feel good. And then I would just load her up in the stroller and we would go for a walk. And I would either have my walk mapped out, or I would set a timer, just be like 15 minutes one way and 15 minutes back. But I think I started with like 10, you know, I'd go like 10, and then like in 3 or 4 days I'd work up. So she just went with me in the stroller, you know, she would nap, and it was just good for both of us. And it just felt so, and usually, you know, babies like to be in strollers and they like to go for walks and they're quiet and there's no crying going on, and you can just enjoy it. So that's what I did, and that's what I think would work well for, especially this time of year. You know, it's going to be midsummer, so you could either do it in the mornings when it's cool or in the evenings, whatever works out for you, and you'll be back in it in no time.
I hope so. I think that'll be a big, I don't know. I think just starting a program of some kind, getting my, you know, diet back under control, getting into a routine, a fitness routine, I think that'll make me feel a lot better about
it
myself.
It will. Yeah. 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 Cause I remember that with Paxton before I was even, I'm just so used to working out now. Like I cannot imagine not working out. So, but before I had any kind of routine going, I was always active, of course, with chores and lots of stuff, you know, just around the ranch and then with the horses. But we were hauling a load of cows, and I remember the cow truck was parked in one spot, and I had to kind of run. I don't even know, you know, if it was like 50 yards. It wasn't very far. And I just kind of, you know, just checked myself and just sprinted a little bit. And I realized I hadn't even ran or did anything short of maybe like a sporadic basketball game or something weird. I hadn't done anything that got my heart rate up for years, probably, unless maybe like a team branding event or something like that. But I ran hard and I got out of air, you know, running from like the chute to the truck. I can't remember what I was doing, but I just remember this presence of, wow, my heart rate's up and I'm really puffing, and there was a lot of jiggling going on, like in the butt and the stomach. And I'm like, I love the endorphin rush that I got from running, but I hated the jiggle. So then I'm, you know, just kind of planted a seed. I was like, I want to get in shape. I do. I want to get in shape. And so it's funny how you have, you know, those little seeds get planted, and then maybe, you know, 3 or 4 days later, you see something on TV or you'll read something on the internet. I don't know, but these things keep showing up and you're like, yep, I'm gonna do it. And so, yeah, it's funny how it just happens like that.
Well, I really appreciate you giving me all this advice, because I'm going to need it.
Oh, you're going to do great. So have you been like me? I was never around babies at all, ever. So have you been around very many babies at all, or family-wise? Or?
Well, I've been around babies, but not long term, you know, like I've held my friends' babies and stuff, but as far as the diaper changing and the actual like long term care, no. I haven't, in fact, I have changed very, very few diapers in my life. So I know I'll get to change a lot here soon, though. So
oh, yeah. No, that's the thing. Experience is the best thing there. But I just remember that feeling myself. I was like, I have no idea. And it's funny how you just got to do it. You know, they're like, you can't put it on pause. You got to do it right then.
No.
So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll just, you know, learn by doing. That was,
that was my
college's motto. So I'll just stick with that.
Yep. You'll be good.
Well, before we wrap up, I'm just curious, cause I know a lot of people struggle with this, and I've heard from listeners and blog readers and stuff that people do sometimes tend to lose sight of their own dreams after they have kids. And I've heard from people that kind of got out of horses or put that part of their life on the back burner after they had kids, and they would like to get back into it. So, you know, at that, when you've sort of lost that balance, what do you think would be, a good way to kind of move back towards that.
Yeah, no, I know. I get emails and messages all the time on this, people looking to either get back in shape or whatever. And they've done just that. Like they've had kids and they're like, I haven't ridden for years because I've been doing the kid thing. And then that's so good. I'm so, you know, you have to make your kids a priority and take care of them. Right. I would hate for it to be the other way around, but I think it's just vital that you find a way to balance your life, that you still, number one, take care of yourself, because it's the same as what they tell you when you're on the airplane and they're giving you that safety check thing. And they tell you to put the oxygen mask on yourself before you apply it to anyone around you or whatever it is they say. You Right. have to take care of yourself first, because you will be better for your family. Cause I hear that a lot, you know, they're like, well, I put myself last and I have to take care of all these people, and that's good, but you are actually hurting those other people if you're not at your best. And so physically that's true, but I also think mentally, you know, if you've lost your drive and your dream and the things that give you joy, like for me, it's horses. Like I can go, you know, a few months or weeks or something without riding to have the babies and get settled in. That was worth it. But I knew the thing that gave me hope was I knew, you know, the babies would get older and I would get back to where I could ride again. And I enjoyed being in the moment with the babies. But at the same time, I had that hope that that was the thing that keeps me, that just makes me so happy, is to be with my horses. And I would be doing a disservice to the world if I took that out of me, because part of me would die. I would lose my passion and my enthusiasm for living. And that's dangerous. I think it's dangerous. Yeah. And so you have to just keep that in mind, I think. So, you know, there's a lot that goes on, and there's a lot of balance, and there'll probably be a lot of tears, and you know, it's just all part of it that come along. I remember feeling when Ira was a couple weeks old, our birthdays are 9 days apart. So he's born on the 9th. My birthday's the 18th of October. And the guys were all processing cows at that time, cat weaning and doing all the shoot work and all that I was so used to doing. And I remember it was pouring down rain on my birthday, and I was sitting in this single wide trailer house that we were living in, like mouse infested, because we weren't able to move into our new house yet. And I'm with this, you know, 9-day-old baby who like was not somebody I knew very well yet. I loved him with all my heart, but I hadn't worked any of that out yet. And the tear, like I just sat there and cried the whole entire day, because my husband was late. He got home after dark, and I felt so sad. I felt so alone and so sad that I wasn't resentful, but it was just so many emotions going around because the change was so huge. And I mean, you have to allow yourself, like those moments and those times, they're going to be different for everybody, but they're going to come. And it just has to be okay. Like it has to be okay that you feel sad, because there's no way to be happy all the time. But right. At the same time, you know, all these adjustments are going to happen, and you have to know in your heart what makes you happy, and you have to figure out a way to still incorporate it in. I believe that so much with all of my heart. I really do. I think it's so important.
And I think the other important thing for people to remember, you know, when they're looking at that, like, oh gosh, my kids are doing all these things and there's no time for me to do things for myself, you know, and you hear that so often with mothers, especially, who put themselves last because they think that's the right thing to do, because they need to make their kids a priority. And obviously you do need to make your kids a priority. But at the same time, you can't let that mommy guilt keep you from doing the things that are important to you and actually making yourself a priority as well, because you don't want your kids to do that same thing. You know, you want your kids to follow their dreams and go after the things that are important to them. And if you don't show them that yourself, then how are they ever going to learn, you know?
Yeah, they'll learn to be just like you. No matter what you do, they're going to learn to be just like you. So that's another reason to definitely, you know, keep yourself a priority and what makes you happy, because they'll see that, and they'll right. not in a selfish way, but in a good way, in a just living the life to the fullest kind of way.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's so good and so important. Yeah, and I think that's why it was so important to me with Rebecca to cut out all that other stuff, because you're going to have to cut things out in order to focus on a handful of things that you can all go and do. So it's important to delegate out. Like, I hired a housekeeper, you know, I could afford it, but I figured out ways to eliminate some stuff I didn't like to do, said no to some things, and just simplified my life. And because that's another thing that I hear all the time from people is how they do not have time. Like, they want to get involved in some fitness program and get started, but they're like, I literally have no time. And they'll walk me through their day. You know, they'll start at 5 o'clock in the morning and then they get completely done at 10 o'clock at night. And so that person needs to cut some stuff. They need to say no. And they think they can't, but they can. And it's vital. It really is. and the other thing about balancing like the kids' activities is they grow up so fast that I wouldn't rank my priorities like the kids' stuff is before mine. I mean, I've definitely toned it down on what I do, but I make that okay because I know how fast they grow up. I mean, I blinked and Ira is going to be 12 this year. It just goes by so fast. So I try to really focus on just living in the moment and enjoy, like, taking lots of pictures and lots of video and just living in that moment, because you're going to have time to go back and compete yourself. And I look at ladies too, that maybe like they're 10 years older than me and they had their babies and they raised them and they watched them do good and they participated too, but then they go, like, their babies go off to college and then the moms get back in and they become fierce competitors, you know, because they can. So I think it just all comes down to balance and trial and error and just keep failing forward.
and different seasons in your life too.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Embracing it.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, lots to think about. Thank you for all the great advice. And I hope that some of the other moms out there got a little bit out of that too.
Me too. I so hope, because it's such a passionate topic and it's such a just such a blessing and such a miracle. And I'm just so excited for you and I can't wait to hear about all of it. So do you, like with us, we kept the names a secret. So you have names picked out, or are you sharing it all, or how's that going for you?
Well, we're getting it narrowed down. So when the baby gets here, I will share all of that information.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, thanks so much, Andrea. I appreciate you hanging out with me, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of the podcast. I realize it was a little self-indulgent because here I am getting ready to have a baby, and I just really wanted to get some of Andrea's advice, but I hope it helped some of you as well who might be expecting a baby or already have a baby or might have a baby someday to kind of sort through those things. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that I had a really important announcement to make, and here it is. This is the last episode of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now, obviously, there's a lot of things happening in my life, endings and new beginnings, and it just seemed like a good time to put a punctuation mark on this podcast episode number 55. I've really enjoyed doing this podcast. I have met some wonderful people. I have had some great interactions with my listeners, and I appreciate you all so much. I don't want you to feel like I'm letting you down or that I'm abandoning you. It means the world to me. So please know that. The podcast may end up coming back at some point. I don't know. It likely will be with someone else hosting if it does. And the main reason it is coming to an end is because I want to pursue a little something different. And will be starting a new podcast in the fall, and that will be geared towards women who are wanting to build their confidence around riding and competing with horses. You've noticed I've really been kind of getting more into that lately with recent podcast episodes and blog posts, and I've decided that that's the direction that I really want to pursue. I know some of you will think that is fabulous news, and I know some of you are probably not so excited about that. And that's why I have made the decision to actually start something new rather than to take Earn Your Spurs in that direction. I have developed a very, very wonderful and broad audience over the last couple of years with the podcast and the blog. And I know so many of you have a variety of interests, and some of you are just here for the interviews with really amazing people inside the Western space. The new podcast will also feature interviews, but if you're not riding and competing with horses, they may not be as interesting to you as some of these have been. So really, I just want to thank you for being here over the almost past 2 years. You have been amazing, and it is just so cool to have somebody actually listening to the stuff that you create. So thank you for that. I hope that those of you who have enjoyed the recent content and are really interested in the confidence and mindset building aspect of some of my recent content will continue to follow me with the new venture. It will be really geared toward women because I've found that part of my audience happens to be the most engaged in that type of content, but that's not to say we're going to kick all the guys out. So if you are a male who would also be interested, I hope that you'll follow along and keep up with what's going on. And if you really would like to know what's going to be happening next, please be sure that you are on the Earn Your Spurs email list. And you can do that by going to earnyourspurs.com and signing up to join the community. I am entertaining the idea of potentially having somebody else take over the blog and the podcast. If there's somebody out there who I feel is a good fit that would be interested in doing that, that's a possibility. So if you have anyone in mind, let me know. Again, thank you so much for being my amazing, loyal listener. Until we meet again.
Thanks for listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.